Tonight on the Band from Ringside podcast, it's the 2018 Beefer Awards! Woo! Tonight on the Band from Ringside podcast.
He's back.
Ditch that 9-to-5. It's time to feel alive. Hello, Marks, and welcome to the 2018 Beefer Awards. As always, I'm your host, Bill Vagy, a.k.a. the world's most interesting smark, a.k.a. 00 smark, a.k.a. the master of shadow smarking, a.k.a. the smark day triumph, a.k.a. the Shaolin smark, a.k.a. the raider of the lost smark.
That's my favorite.
I had to get the Vice gave me his best of, and a few that I haven't used yet.
Raider of the lost smark is 2018 Beefer Award.
That's your Beefer Award. I like smark day triumph, but I mean, it's subjective. To my right, as always, or not as always, we missed in the last couple weeks. We have Two Beers, Zach Pullman. What's going on, Two Beer?
Oh, man, I'm fucking pumped. I feel like I've been drinking green tea all goddamn day. I have not been here in 3 weeks.
It's been a while.
I missed 2 weeks. It's been 3 weeks since I sat in this chair, and I'm fucking ready to lay down some awards.
And to his right, as always, we have Jason Cornelius Bell. What's going on, JCB?
Allow us to crack open the good book of Band from Ringside, Volume 87, Chapter 3, Verse 14 of the Good Smart Saith, hashtag Boo the Heels. It's all good, baby. Quick shout out to my girl, Becky Balboa. I love you. Let's get this Joker rolling.
Happy holidays, everybody. We hope that everybody enjoyed their Christmas, if that's what you celebrate. If that's not what you celebrate, we hope that you enjoyed anything that you did happen to celebrate. We are in between Christmas and New Year's right now, so...
Or not celebrate. Maybe you just decided to, like, stay home and,
yeah,
like,
you don't have to
be naked
shit.
Alone.
And we don't care.
That sounds fun.
Do your thing.
He's back.
Do your thing. But we are sitting in between Christmas and New Year's, which means it's our second annual Beefer Awards. We've been doing the podcast for about a year and a half.
And it's the first annual. Last year was the inaugural. This is the second annual.
Yeah, that's why I put it on it.
First annual. First annual.
No, I was about to say, this is the second annual.
No, it's the first annual. Oh, last year was the inaugural.
Oh, guys, we have so much stuff to get through.
I know. Let's we can't argue semantics.
Down in the semantics. We are coming at you from the exquisite Shock City Studios in beautiful, nicer than it should be, St. Louis, Missouri. We have Sam the Mahler Mall turning the knobs tonight.
Mr. Perfect's in the house.
Murray, the Murray Man, Murray is not with us tonight. He had something that he got called away for his second job, besides being the Band from Ringside producer.
All media.
Slash co-host.
All media world.
Before we get too far into anything, we got to talk about the day one-ish. That Soul Taco. Soul Taco, it's the Mexican-Korean fusion food that you never knew you needed, but once you have it, you can never go without it.
About guys, to be in Tower Grove?
About to be, not in Tower Grove, in the Grove.
In the Grove.
So on Manchester.
And I was like, what?
They are opening up a new store in Manchester. If you're in the Chicago area, they're opening up another new store in the Chicago area. If you're here with us in St. Louis, having another one, it's actually the first one in the city limits, is pretty exciting.
Oh, it's great because I'm going to go way more often.
Yeah. They're going to kill over there.
There's this one right down the street from the crib.
The reason they're going to kill over there is because Soul Taco is delicious, guys. It is the best. So go get yourself some Soul Taco. Tell them the Band from Ringside sent you. That other day two-ish sponsor is JJ Twiggs Pizza on Southampton. Funny story, Zach broke out some 100-proof whiskey at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Damn,
we were all drinking. And I said, don't worry, I'll walk down the street and I'll go get a pizza because you drove home, babe. Don't worry about it. I walked down the street. I did another shot of whiskey while I was there.
I bet.
And I got a pizza. And I walked in. She goes, hey, Bill, what's going on? And I go, good. And like right when I said it, you know, when you're too drunk, like when you and you're like, there's no way to explain it without sounding drunker. So Alex, the owner, said, hey, Bill, what's going on? And I go, good. And like, that's what I knew. I was like, just give me the pizza and I'll buy you a shot. Let's get and I'll go home. So those are two of our three sponsors. We'll get to the other sponsor later. But
funny thing about Christmas, we forgot something, so we had to go back a couple hours later after we went to another Christmas.
Oh, it sounds horrible.
And I was even more banged up. And we pull up, and Bill comes out, and he's like, what the fuck are you doing here? Like, he thought I had just been outside. And he's holding an entire pie that we had that we had brought and no one had opened or eaten.
Yeah.
And I almost said, give me that fucking pie.
You brought that?
I brought it and I saw it, but I was like, yeah, he'll enjoy it.
All right. True story. Aunt Marion was super drunk. Our wife's Aunt Marion was super drunk. And I was walking out. I was like, man, that pecan pie looks good. And she goes, take it. And I was like, take the whole pie? She's like, yeah, just take it. And I was like, okay. I've eaten half of it. I'm going to eat like another quarter of it tonight.
Man, I thought my Christmas was wild.
To be fair, I don't remember that moment at all. So we're going to get to our Beefer Awards, and we'll just call it the three counts.
Yeah, see?
Sam looks at me.
See,
I told him there wasn't worried about
three counts.
I told him he didn't have to do it.
You fucked
him up. I told him he didn't have to do it.
Yeah, and see the quarterback over here. Told you, the blitz is on the left.
All right, so we have a bunch of categories to get through tonight. We're going to build up to the big ones, the wrestlers of the year and the matches of the year. So let's start out on a positive note. Let's start out on the best feud / angle of 2018. I'm going to start with you, Two-Beer Zach. What you got?
So this, I listened to our 2017 awards, and this was what would have been my pick, but we were robbed of it in 2017. My pick is absolutely Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. That is the feud of the year. That gave us the best matches in WWE, bar none, main roster included, NXT included. It was a heated feud. It was a blood feud. Those guys were so great, top to bottom, every single match. It was hard for me to pick a favorite out of those. I think it might be the first one, just because it was so anticipated.
The second one was the last man standing one?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
No, that was the third one, right?
No, the second one was last man standing.
Okay. And then, okay. Yeah. So anyway, that's it. I mean, we got probably the best NXT champion of all time in Tommaso Ciampa, and the guy who doesn't need a belt. He's fucking Johnny Big Match. He's fucking Johnny Wrestling. This dude was in every great match in WWE NXT. All of my favorite matches. I'm a huge Johnny Gargano mark, and this feud just reignited that. So I don't think anything topped it in WWE.
JCB?
I will agree upon that. I did have that as one of the three that I did write down, because just because I figured that everybody would kind of agree upon that.
Now, this is not WWE specific. This is just the best angle/feud of the year.
I just threw a couple more out there just because they were on my head. Sami Callihan and Eddie Edwards from Impact, even though it was a botched spot where the baseball bat hit Eddie Edwards in the head, in the face, and fucked him up. They spun that into a blood feud that went several months. That was probably one of their biggest angles. And just on a personal level, Suzuki and Ishii, I'm sorry, that doesn't have to be for any belt. You can just throw those two jokers in the ring and just step back and let them jokers go. They don't like each other. And that is epically shown in any match they have. God forbid it's for like the British, undisputed British heavyweight title that they had like a few months back. That match was a crazy match.
Oh my God.
You get those two in the same ring, it's going to be on. That's my two other alternate matches.
That shit looks like it hurts.
So what was your what was your number one though?
Number one should be Gargano Ciampa, and I don't have a problem with that.
All right, so it's unanimous amongst us three. I think the best feud of the year was Gargano Ciampa. When obviously Gargano Ciampa, it's not even done yet, which is what's really amazing.
Nope.
Another one of the best angles of the year, just because we've already said that was all of our favorites. I think the Golden Lovers reuniting was a big angle of the year that I really liked. I also liked Jericho in NJPW, whatever he did, but Jericho Omega, I know that was at the end of the last year and kind of straddled 17 and 18.
But it was January 4th, 2018.
When they had the match.
Right. So. But I have more to say about Jericho later going on, but I think that when you talk about Ciampa Gargano, what you're saying is that this has been a year-long feud that I don't think anybody's really done with as a viewer. I think that if they did another few matches, everybody'd be okay with it. They put on some of the best matches, and ultimately, I think we're talking about one of the greatest feuds of all time, between those two.
For sure. Whenever, way back, whenever we did our first Cruiserweight Classic, we had guys like fucking Kota Ibushi, Zack Sabre Jr. in there. And I mean, granted, none of them signed contracts, like, because Ibushi doesn't sign contracts. My favorite match of that whole tournament was Ciampa Gargano whenever they were in DIY.
Right.
And they were forced to wrestle each other.
Right.
So they've been doing this forever. And, you know, we talk about that whole fight forever. We talk about Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. That's another, I think that's a great analogy for these two.
Yeah, they're very similar, those two. They're best friends, their worst enemies, their best friends, their worst enemies.
Yeah, or Omega Ibushi, you know, same kind of thing. Fight forever. I hope these guys fight forever.
And then just the other night on NXT, bringing something current in, they had the cage match between Gargano and Black, and then Ciampa came in, and Gargano, with some reservations, did the finishing move with Tommaso Ciampa, and he didn't like it, and Tommaso Ciampa went in for the hug, and Gargano was like, no, I'm not hugging you. I don't feel good about it. I just hate Aleister Black as much as you do, which means we're leading towards a triple threat, which I'm excited about. Let's go to our worst feud of the year. I'll go first. I think the worst feud of the year, I think that Big Cass and Daniel Bryan can be in the conversation.
That's in the conversation.
For worst feud of the year, I think
that's like the first and last time Big Cass is going to be tagged in our fucking notes.
Asuka Carmella was one of the worst feuds of the year. But I think when you're talking about the worst feud of the year, I think Brothers of Destruction versus D-Generation X is
goddamn. I fucking forgot about that.
How can you forget about that?
It was so bad that I just blocked it out.
Oh, man. Well, now I'm interested to hear what you have. What did you have?
My number one worst was Bobby Lashley and Sami Zayn. That was just such a joke with his Bobby Lashley's sisters and the fucking obstacle course.
I forgot about Bobby Lashley's sisters. If only there was a worst promo of the year, it would have been Bobby Lashley cutting the promo about his sisters. But you're right.
I think the one that made me the maddest was what they did with Bayley and Sasha, and then eventually none of it mattered. Now we have the Boss and Hug connection, which also doesn't seem to matter. So that's the one that made me the angriest. So
did they call it that?
Boston Hug Connection. They got gear, man.
The Boston Hug Connection?
Boss and Hug, because she's the boss. And
oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. But they have gear. I think there's multiple variants of the Boston Hug Connection gear.
Barf.
Yeah, I think Sasha's husband is the gear guy, actually.
I was going to say he does makeup and wardrobe.
Which makes sense, because Sasha has the dopest fucking gear out of all of the women.
I would be surprised if she did not outsell everybody. For whatever reason, her gear does look better than everybody else. It just stands out.
Worst feud of the year, Jason Bell.
You guys you said my number one was Brothers of Destruction versus DX. Nia Jax, Alexa, right around the WrestleMania season when they had the whole bullying. Big bullying campaign. And then, you know, all of a sudden we forgot about that. And then Nia Jax became the bully. And then Brock Braun, in any way you want to sort it out, any of those matches were
How about Brock anybody?
No, I'm not going to go Brock anybody. I mean,
all of those were bad.
No, I was getting ready to say, just last week they were saying how great Brock Daniel Bryan was, so I'm not going to sit up and say that.
Oh, that match was good. But that was just a thrown-together match.
I'm going to say Brock Braun, especially at Crown Jewel, was just absolutely brutal. Brutal to watch.
But the worst angle of the year, you're going with Brock and Braun?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, if you're going to pin me on one, I'm going with Brothers Destruction versus D-Generation X.
Right, but that was the worst.
Other ones that, just to throw out there,
Brock Braun, somebody else mentioned that Nia. Kane was in a triple threat match for the belt in 2018.
It was the Royal Rumble.
Who was it against?
It had to be Braun, Brock, and Kane. It sounds right.
Yeah.
That happened in 2018?
Yeah.
Yep.
God damn, it's been a long year.
Okay.
Oh, God, it's been the longest year.
Jesus Christ. And
that's your main roster right there. Yeah. Kane was in a main event feud at the start of the 2018 season.
This has been the worst fucking year. For WWE. And just it's just been so long. It's like a torturous year. There's been some great things in wrestling. We're going to talk about some amazing things. But I feel like this year was one of the longest years of my life.
It's been a down year for WWE main roster for sure. It has not been a down year for NXT.
Yeah, or New Japan.
Or New Japan.
or fucking ROH, or you know.
We'll get into it. Promo of the year, Jason Bell. What do you got?
Without question, and I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying this is the one that hit me the hardest. When I was at Tender's house, we're getting settled in for Monday Night Gluttony, and Roman Reigns comes out and says, "My name is Joe," whatever.
Arapahoe. No.
Okay. And he basically comes out and says, he has leukemia. That is a human interest story, number one. And number two, just for the basis of this podcast, it shakes the WWE to its foundation. And everything that's happened from that point is a direct result of it. It wasn't like he came out and, you know, said something scathing or anything like that. This was true story. This came from the heart. You could tell it came from the heart, and he got his minutes to say it. Roman Reigns, to me, is the promo of the year.
Well, in terms of wrestling terminology, that's a shoot. I mean, it was a shoot promo.
It was a shoot promo.
A shoot promo won my promo of the year last year.
Or maybe
year
it's the greatest work of all time.
No. Promo of the year, Zach.
I'm not doing that shit. I did see some people whenever it came out talking about horrible. How it was a work, and I'm like, you people are the worst people in the fucking world.
Come on, man. It
was I literally was only going to write one thing down, and that was I wrote Roman cancer promo. And what's funny is I was listening to 2017, and I think from here on out, the however many annual Beefer Awards, the promo of the year has to be Roman Reigns promo of the year award. Because last year, both you motherfuckers picked Roman Reigns for different promos, and neither of you guys would ever say that he's a good promo,
which
is fucking hilarious.
He's not a good promo.
I forget what I picked. But both you guys picked Roman Reigns, he deserves it this year.
Last year he came out, this was after he beat Taker, and he sat out there for 15 minutes and didn't say a word. It was absolutely perfect.
That's one of the heat built up,
and it was just like, finally, he was like, oh, this is my yard now. Bounce.
But yeah, so now, next year, 2019.
That's one of the best promos of all time.
2019, second annual Beefer Awards.
Oh, Jesus.
The promo of the year will be called the Roman Reigns Award.
Okay, all right. Fine.
But yeah, that's it. The only other thing I wrote down, because I feel like I had to just have something else to say, was Becky Black Eye. Becky Lynch has killed 2018, and especially if you work in the Twitter work, she's fucking murdering the game.
There was a few that I considered. I really liked the Chris Jericho promo when he was doing the press conference in front of the people and he was cussing and everything right when he came out against Kenny Omega. I believe that was in January.
That was last year. He's done a lot more since that are also really good.
Cody had a really good promo this year. The other one I thought of was when Daniel Bryan at Saudi Arabia, I believe, cut a promo on AJ Styles. No, couldn't have been.
He didn't go.
Yeah, I was going to say he didn't go.
No. He was talking. Oh, fuck, now I can't remember it. I just listened to the entire thing. It doesn't matter. I had Roman Reigns as being the best promo of the year also because I thought that him having the courage to go out there and cut the promo that he did in the face of what he stood for in terms of professional wrestling, which is he is a much maligned babyface who is the face of the company. And he knew that was going to be rough because he gets booed every time his music gets played. And he went out there and it was inspiring. It was moving. I mean, you can go back and listen to our podcast that happened that week. I can't say that I had
dry eyes. My wife came and sat down next to me and fucking cried.
Yeah.
She makes fun of me for watching wrestling.
So it was a, it might not have been the best wrestling promo, but it was the best promo of the year. It was the most
impactful.
I'll remember it for the rest of my life.
I think that's the point. Okay. Scandal of the year. What do you got, JCB?
You can go in multiple different ways, but I'll just clump it in one fell swoop. To me, it's got to be Crown Jewel, just from the scandal of should we go, should we not go, to Brock getting the title back, to Jeff Hardy and Jinder Mahal in this case having one of the worst botches that I've ever seen in my life. The whole thing was just
you're talking about that whisper in the wind.
Yeah, it was easily one of the hottest train wrecks hot garbage, whatever you want to call it, to me, it's got to be Crown Jewel, hands down.
I only wrote one thing, and that was Crown Jewel.
Yeah, I agree.
I canceled WWE Network, haven't had it since, and I haven't, I mean, shortly thereafter, I pretty much stopped watching Raw because it got so bad. But like you said, I mean, I just can't, like, funnel money into a corporation like that. I mean, that was just a bad move. Plus, you brought back my fucking childhood hero, and you fucking made him...
He fell on his fucking face. Yeah. Catch this man.
I'd say that the two biggest losers out of that Crown Jewel thing, besides the Saudi Arabian people...
they loved it. They ate that up with a spoon. Are you kidding me?
Well, not the ones who are being oppressed and the ones who are, you know, dying under the regime. But besides them, okay, it's Shawn Michaels and Undertaker. Like, why would you guys tarnish your legacy like this? Especially Shawn Michaels. Shit. Really, he did. I mean, he really tarnished.
Must be the money.
I know when people say tarnish. I might have been on this exact same podcast by saying that he tarnished his legacy is just going a little step too far. But man, like, when you think about him retiring and actually sticking to his guns and saying, I'm never going to wrestle again. And then you're going to wrestle for these assholes.
And then to do it there.
I'm sure Hunter came up to him. It was just like, look, I need you this one time. You know, do me a solid.
For just a garbage match.
Well, I mean, it wasn't garbage. We're talking about it.
That doesn't make it not garbage.
Hey.
Vince is like, no publicity is bad publicity.
Bam.
We got to keep going. What's your mark out moment of the year, Jason Cornelius Bell?
We saw it before we walked out the door today when I picked you up. As far as I'm concerned, there could be several, but for me, there is one where I can watch it over and over again and visibly scream like a little $2 bitch. Velveteen Dream on the top of the ladder coming off with a nasty ass elbow on Lars Sullivan, bitch, to me is the mark out moment of the year. The ladder was unstable. He didn't get up to he went up to the tippy top. The top where you can see it and the ladder started to I'm like, oh God, no. No way he's gonna make this. He comes off of it. He lands on Lars Sullivan flush. The crowd erupts. That's a big ass match into itself. It's one of the biggest spots in that match. To me, that is the mark out moment.
I like that. I hadn't even thought of it.
It was my Twitter profile picture for like months. I had to go that way.
I had a few big mark out moments. I'm going to say two just because one of them, I feel like not only is there some recency bias, but I was also there live. And that's whenever Daniel Bryan turned here in St. Louis and took the WWE title from AJ Styles, ending a very long, albeit like, yeah, mediocre, yeah, reign.
Yeah, being nice.
But that was huge. I marked out super hard just because I was right there. And I just remember saying, like, oh my God, like over and over. And like, I couldn't stop touching my face. Like, I was just like super into it. The other one was also a title change, and that was June 9th in the very early morning hours. It was a Saturday morning, and my wife wakes up and she's like, nice, what are you doing? Because she was on her way to work at like 6 in the morning.
We're Kenny Omega just won the fucking title!
Yeah. And I fucking, whether it was sleep deprivation or the beers that I'd been drinking like in early in the morning,
yeah,
I had fucking tears in my eyes for the end of probably the greatest championship reign in modern history. And it was so emotional. It was an absolute ride. So those are very similar, but those are my two.
Okay, in the interest of time, can I assume that your turn of the year is Daniel Bryan?
Yeah, that was it.
Okay, because my mark out moment of the year and my turn of the year are the same moment, and in the interest of time, I'll just keep saying in the interest of time, so it takes that as much time.
Right.
Dean Ambrose turning on Seth Rollins the night that Roman Reigns opened up the show by saying he had leukemia and that he had to lay down his belt. To me, months later, I don't know how long ago that was, probably 2 months ago, I stand by it that I think it's one of the biggest heel turns of all time, top three. I was surprised by it. It seems easy to say it now that it seems obvious, but it was not obvious that night, because that night was emotional. Roman Reigns, Beefer promo of the year, winner, had cut that promo earlier that night, and for Dean Ambrose to turn on Seth Rollins that night was shocking. It hit me right where it should as a wrestling fan, and I legitimately marked out. I was tired, guys. On Monday nights, I'm tired. I'm sleeping in my recliner. I'm kind of waking up at the end of Raw, and my wife gets back from teaching her class, and I'm like, okay, well, I'll just stay up for the end of this Ambrose and Rollins versus, I forget who they won the belts from.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter. They won the belts that night.
Probably the bar, because they wrestled them for fucking 6 years.
But the bar's
on SmackDown.
Bar's on SmackDown.
I don't know.
I honestly can't remember who it was from.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter! Because when he turned on him, I shot up out of my chair in a true markout moment. Like, when I'm watching an NXT match, like you're talking about, no disrespect to your markout moment of the year. But when I'm watching an NXT match, I'm expecting incredible things. When I'm watching, Raw, I'm not.
Nice, baby.
And when it happened,
made his fucking sweatpants like the Pyramid of Giza.
It was more like a plateau. But that is also my turn of the year. So, Jason Bell, what's your turn of the year? Because we all did our
turn of the
moments.
Year. We're going to do Bullet Club versus Bullet Club when finally the Tongans decided enough was enough. We're not playing this bullshit anymore. Fuck Kenny Omega. Fuck the Young Bucks. Three of us are going to take out the eight of you, including anybody you want to bring out from the back. We're going to fuck them up too. Bullet Club versus Bullet Club. Tongans overtake the Bullet Club is my turn of the year.
Next up, pay-per-view of the year. What you got, Jason Bell?
It was tough, but it wasn't that tough because it basically comes from the same organization. My number one pick, the knee-jerk reaction, was Wrestle Kingdom 12. I know that the match of the year is from Dominion. I get that. There was good matches at Dominion, better matches at Wrestle Kingdom 12, just because I brought it up. You had Goto versus Suzuki in a hair versus hair match. That shit very rarely happens in New Japan, if any place at all, besides WWE. It's a Fatal 4 match with Will Ospreay, Marty Scurll, Tanahashi, and Kushida. That's off the chain. You throw in, Kota Ibushi and Cody Rhodes. You give me a little Naito and Okada as the main event. Throw in Jericho and Omega. Call for what you want. That is, for me, my money, pay-per-view of the year.
I mean, it's hard to argue with, Zach.
I'll run these down. I got New Japan Dominion, absolutely best match ever. Yeah. is on the card that, you know, can't argue with it. Great undercard also, with Naito, Jericho and such. For NXT, it's TakeOver NOLA. You had the ladder match for the North American title, and you also had Gargano, Ciampa, Unsanctioned. And
you
for
took the words right out of my mouth.
And for WWE main roster, it was Evolution.
Jason's I'd like, say for NJ, nope. NJPW, I agree with Jason Bell. For NXT, I agree with you. New Orleans, I was talking to Jason. We were watching that ladder match before we came in. I'd say for my pay-per-view of the year, I chose All In. And I chose All In just because it seems to have changed the game.
It's a great pick.
That All In proves that these guys can survive outside of WWE, outside of big corporations behind them. I know they had sponsors and everything, but All In was essentially a do-it-yourself thing.
Oh, it was an experiment.
By Cody and the Young Bucks, and it succeeded beyond their expectations, I would think so, beyond my expectations, beyond probably Dave Meltzer's expectations.
Everybody's. I mean, All In was the Petri dish that we all came in.
Yes.
And the product of that Petri dish is, Samson's shaking his head.
Hopefully a new WCW.
Yeah, the product of that is going to be a new promotion that, you know, we don't even know what it's shaping up to be. But there's great things on the horizon.
B,
because of that.
Because of All In, and that's why. I mean, like I said, I thought about those other ones. I also thought about TLC, which just happened a couple of weeks ago, which was very good and had two of the best main roster matches of the year.
Yep.
But just for the broader impact on the wrestling industry, All In was my pay-per-view of the year.
Yeah, it should have been ours. Well, shit, we were there.
We were there, and we do have interviews that are forthcoming, I promise, guys.
This was, what, 6 months ago?
All right, so we're going to go to the overused wrestler of the year, Jason Bell. What do you got for overused slash overrated wrestler of the year?
I'm going to call this dude overrated. I'm sick of seeing him. He is in every fucking Raw fucking segment. It was like four, and his name was not even Roman Reigns. I'm sorry, Baron Corbin's got to go.
I only wrote one name, and it was Baron Corbin.
Dude, he's got to go. He's not that good. He had his chance. They gave him the Money in the Bank. They snatched that away from him pretty fucking quick, and now they've given him this. Now it's not even, when I see him, I'm not even mad. I roll my eyes. I just want you to go away. For me, it's go away heat. This doesn't work. Oh, we're going to blame Baron Corbin for all the No. Don't blame Baron Corbin for what's going on. He's the scapegoat, but it's not for his fault. The bottom line is that he's been put in this spot where, unfortunately, it's an old angle, number one. And for me, number two, it doesn't work for me. His good matches are with people that theoretically always have good matches, a.k.a. Seth Rollins. If you threw him against Apollo Crews, just because it's the first person I thought of, he's not going to have a 5-star match. It's not going to be a 4-star match. You're lucky if it's going to be 3. Baron Corbin is in a spot where he's a easy person to hate because he represents the man. Outside of that, name me a great Baron Corbin match that didn't have an AJ Styles or Seth Rollins or anybody like that. I will willing to tip my hat. Outside of that, overrated Baron Corbin.
Zach
said everything I wanted to say.
All right, you guys aren't going to like mine. It's the New Day. I'm sick of them. I never want to see them on TV again.
Oh, you hate them. That's fine. That's okay.
I don't want to see them. I don't want to see them doing their same old shtick. I don't think they're funny. They're just all inside jokes. Now, listen, does that mean I don't want to see Kofi Kingston? No. Does that mean I don't want to see Big E? Hell no. No, I want to see those guys. I want those guys. But the New Day, it appeals to kids. And I know that there's a place for appealing to kids. Just not my thing.
I
know that I'm the minority on this.
Here's the hot take. Bill just wishes he was more appealing to kids.
Bill just wishes he can get over 100 followers.
I said I know I'm in the minority on this. No pun intended. Okay, so the most underrated / underused wrestler. Now, there's a bunch that we could go with here, guys. So I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this.
So we went to underused, so I'm going to go Chad Gable. I'm going to go Chad Gable because, yeah, he's gotten some tag titles. He has one now. This dude does not need to be stuck in a tag team. He needs to be
one of the best workers in the company.
He's one of the best workers in the company. There's other guys that you could say. My other, like, Andrade Cien Almas. I feel like they just haven't really even given him
a chance yet. That's one of my big ones, yes.
And but the other guys, I feel like there's a lot of underrated guys that you see a lot, but they don't put them in a position to actually put on the kinds of matches that they really could. But as far as Gable goes, they don't really put him in any kind of position to really shine himself.
But does Gable have a lot of charisma in terms of, in like the same way that an Almas would? Like my choice for underrated or underused wrestler is Finn Balor, just because I think Finn Balor, if you put him in the right position, if you put him in the right angles, like he could be massive.
Apparently they're doing it right now. I mean, he's going over Drew, who was also on my list. Yeah, and we all thought he was going over. And Drew's time will come. He's absolutely going to get his time because he is exactly what Vince wants.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, Finn Balor is not the Finn Balor that we've seen in the past, and he's been around for fucking ever. And sure, he hasn't done anything, and it's not his fault.
Not at all. I went Jordan Devlin. I mean, I know this is a name that is not necessarily...
That guy's good.
on the tip of
NXT
most
UK.
NXT UK progress. He's from Ireland, calls himself the Irish Ace. If you have not seen the Jordan Devlin Pete Dunne NXT title match,
oh man,
that's the match that I will point and say this is why I think this man is underrated.
Honestly, like you he is, a little bit more he is also Finn Balor. Like he's the same dude. They're both Irish small dudes that can work their fucking dicks off.
Right.
And you went, going to say you went more underrated, we went more into use. That's the beauty of the Beefer Awards, guys.
Yeah, also, to me is somebody that I don't think most people want to know, but I'm just like, okay, this is the guy you need to start looking at because this might be the one.
I know NXT UK, like Pete Dunne's been on top and he's had the longest fucking title reign ever, but that dude should be wrestling at WrestleMania.
Patience, you
know
my what
I
mean? Patience.
I know he's only like 23.
Patience.
Like, but
Walter is coming. Patience.
Yeah, that's true.
Tag team of the year.
This is the one that I pretty much left blank. Well, I shouldn't say I left blank. It was the last one, but I finally came up with the one team that I've seen multiple times. Unfortunately, WWE is kind of fucking that shit up, but I will stick with this team because I've seen them multiple times. I'm going with the Briscoes as my tag team of the year. I think that I have them as my tag team match of the year, one of the two with the ladder match. I know it's recency bias with them, SCU, and the Bucks.
Now 10 times.
Okay, I went with like accomplishments. When I'm going for somebody of the year, especially if it's male, female, or tag team, I'm going with an accomplishment. What have they done for this 2018 season that singles them out versus anyone else? To me, they've had the best tag team match of the year, and now they're tag team, 10-time tag team ROH champions. The Briscoes.
I picked another dude, another group that was in that match, which is the Young Bucks, and it was the same reason. These guys have done more for wrestling and more for themselves in the sense of getting themselves over without a push from companies. Like, they did it all themselves to where they forced the companies to push them.
In the same vein that I chose All In.
Exactly. Right. And they're a huge part of All In. So that's why the Young Bucks, they've changed the game. They've changed how wrestlers themselves can approach their own marketing. And they are consistently in the best tag team matches all the time. So Young Bucks are my number one.
Guys, the Golden Lovers reunited this year.
I know.
The Golden Lovers have two of the five best wrestlers in the world, right? Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega, they reunited this year.
Yep. And they were my number two.
I also, I'll give an honorable mention to the Usos, who have consistently been
LAX,
great.
I think should get some love, too.
Undisputed Era also.
Yeah.
And Undisputed Era was my third.
Yeah, because not only have they run
Undisputed
NXT.
Undisputed and Usos are probably two and three, but yes.
They've run NXT. Kyle O'Reilly, whenever we were talking about underrated, I think Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong are both two of the most underrated workers because we see them and they're over as fuck. But those guys are exceptional. And, I mean, they're top 10 workers in the company.
You're not the only person at fault in this because I do the same thing. I would say somebody's the top five or top 10 worker in the company. One of these days we got to list them because we can't call everybody one of the top 10 workers in the company.
We got to get pinned
down. It would be fun on a slow week for us to actually say, hey, here are the top 10 workers in the company because we talk about it all the time.
That'd be fun.
But the reason I gave it to the Golden Lovers is because when they reunited, it was fucking great.
Deal. Yeah,
it was a big fucking deal. And they are awesome. So now we're getting to the big dogs.
We're doing tag team match?
Tag team match of the year. Sorry. Yeah, I almost skipped that one.
I already said mine. I'm going with the Ladder War, SCU, Bucks, Briscoes.
I did three just because I did New Japan, NXT, WWE, but I'll just list them. You guys can go watch them. Golden Lovers versus Tanahashi and Ospreay. That's not recency bias. That shit was fucking great.
That was a great way to end the season.
The Mustache Mountain Undisputed Era on the NXT taping.
That's mine.
Oh, dude, that's so good.
The one that happened, it wasn't even on a takeover.
No,
it was just on an NXT show.
And the whole time, the crowd is Mustache Mountain Undisputed, and they're not trying to get themselves over. They're just fucking hyped. It was a really good fucking match.
Yeah. Yes.
And the storytelling was so good. Mm-hmm. Go watch that fucking match.
Yeah.
And then for main roster, you guys might everybody might blow me up on this, but it was the best match on WrestleMania, which shows you how fucking far WWE has fallen. It was fucking Ronda and Kurt Angle versus Triple H and Stephanie.
Stop.
There was not a fucking better match on Wrestle fucking Mania, and that's their fucking fault. It's not my fucking fault. They give us such shit that that's the best fucking match that there was. Man,
I disagree.
Name a better main roster tag team match this year. Hey,
let me tell you this. I disagree with that take.
Yeah.
But I love that fucking take. I fucking love it.
I was about to say, he came hard at home with it, baby.
Mine's Mustache Mountain versus...
I totally forgot about that. That's a really good
Undisputed
match.
Era on the NXT, just regular old NXT. So we're not breaking up the male wrestler of the year and the women's wrestler of the year, but we are going to break up the match of the year. So what do you guys want to do first?
Let's do match of the year.
Okay, let's do the main roster match of the year. WWE main roster match of the year. Who wants to go first? We have 14 minutes.
I'll go first. I'm going with the Gauntlet match. That, to me, is easily the one that sets everything else up. It brings Seth Rollins back to light.
Didn't even think about that.
That's a good one.
It brings Seth Rollins back to life. And the guy that you basically had to...
That was the best Raw of the year also.
And the guy you basically had to ride a good chunk of this 2018 season, if you're Monday Night Raw, it went with Seth Rollins, and you reminded us why he is the man. He might not be Universal Champion, but if you need 30, you need 45 minutes...
If you need an hour and 10 minutes,
you're calling Seth Rollins. The Gauntlet match is the reminder of who he can be.
And if you want a solid 90 seconds, you call me.
Didn't even.
Tara, don't let that man go out like that.
I'll admit, I didn't even think about that match.
I didn't either. My main roster match of the year is pretty funny, partly because I initially hated it so much. And that was Daniel Bryan, Brock Lesnar. I was so mad. For like the first part of that fucking year.
Yeah.
Or for the first part of that match.
Yeah, I'm still mad about
that's
that.
That's my match too.
Why? Yeah. Are you guys kidding me? What they did the year before was called AJ Styles and Brock Lesnar. It was the same match.
No, it was a totally different match. Okay. Because they made it look like it was going to be a squash. Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar. They made it look like it was going to be a squash.
AJ had no offense in that match.
And then they gave Daniel Bryan all sorts of comeback time.
Okay.
I'm sorry, man. Like, I know that Zach hates Brock Lesnar, so I'll speak for myself. But when Brock Lesnar is on screen, it's a little different than when it's just a couple of wrestlers. It makes a little bit more of an attraction, and maybe this makes me, maybe to the indie wrestling crowd, this makes me seem like some sort of mark or some sort of
sheep.
WWE. Oh, you said sheep.
Sheep.
Oh, fuck off. That's fucking weird. My number two, and I thought about this for a while over the last week, was what would be one and what would be two. My number two, and this is not recency bias either, was the tables, ladders, and chair match between Asuka, Becky, and Charlotte. Because that match...
I thought we were splitting up women's match and men's match.
No, but...
Otherwise, I wouldn't have picked Daniel Bryan and Brock. I would have picked, if we were just going with women, I would have picked.
All right, well, let's go to women's. I'll just say that I also love that match, and that was my other main event match of the year. Another one being Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles at TLC on the same card.
I agree with that.
The end of that card was fucking great.
Yeah, my number two was Daniel Bryan, AJ at TLC, but for women's.
Okay, women's. Go ahead. Go ahead.
For women's, it was.
There's no rules here.
I know, yeah. But yeah,
so we can do whatever we want on the fly.
We're just trying to talk about wrestling.
Becky and Charlotte and Asuka at TLC.
Yeah.
And then Rhea Ripley and Io Shirai at Mae Young Classic because Tegan Nox got injured and they had 20 minutes to put together a match and they put together a fucking great match.
I have no problem with that.
You have a women's match of the year?
If you want to just throw out the original, I shouldn't say the original, Becky Charlotte, Last Woman Standing, I think
Evolution
is
great.
Is the one that really, and don't get me wrong, the TLC match was good. This one, to me, just resonates more because they had Becky go over in a scenario where this looked like Charlotte should go over, probably would go over. They made Becky go over.
There would have been no TLC match without that match.
And I don't want to short shrift Asuka and Charlotte at last year's WrestleMania also, which was also a fucking great match.
It was a very good
Their
match.
SmackDown match the other night was fucking really great.
Yeah.
New Japan match of the year.
Oh, God. Do we even have to say it?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. It was the greatest match of all time.
Arguably. Arguably.
What?
He's going to say he's going to say Ishii Omega.
You say Yano, no. I'm coming across this fucking table.
Ishii versus Ibushi where they just beat the shit out of each other. Yes, obviously.
Obviously.
But no, Okada versus Omega 4 at Dominion is, I think for everybody that pays attention, I think that's the greatest match of all time, right? I mean, there's a lot of shit that's arguable, but there's not... I mean, they had callbacks to the first match, to the second match, to the third match.
It's hard
to
argue.
And all the callbacks weren't just in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, and
they happened throughout the match.
I've never seen a better match.
It's truly art.
No, it's hard to argue.
I've never seen a better match, and I got to go on that whole journey right there. You know, I've watched every single one of those matches live, and then watching that match live, I mean, I was watching it with JCB. He was in U City. I was in Edwardsville. Fucking Blood Girl Raven is out there, and fucking we're all just fucking
shout
tweeting.
Out to Blood Girl Raven.
We're okay. Just like, you know, just loving life.
I'll
and
need
fucking,
a cigarette after all this.
Oh,
I'm like,
man.
God damn.
I've just never felt that way, like, for a fucking match. I've never been so invested and so entertained. And, I mean, like, you talk about it being a simulation of a real sport, that is the epitome of that.
Yeah, I was physically, emotionally spent, and I didn't even do anything. I was sitting there smoking weed, watching this shit unfold. I was acting like I was in there for 104 minutes.
So, your NXT match of the year.
I was debating it. I had one down, and then I changed it.
I got three. I got my top three.
Gargano Almas to me is going to still be is my number one. I changed it from Adam Cole Ricochet.
Me too.
When I watched it, I have
Almas Gargano.
When I watched it at his house, it reminded me of how good that match was, how great Gargano is, how underused Almas is.
I guess
it's a huge. It's a big fucking great match, and it was a nice little cherry on top of the cake because Almas retains without too much cheating. The ladder match to me is number two.
I guess the Gargano Ciampa series seems more dramatic because of the story, but when you just talk about straight up work rate, Gargano Almas, man, that,
the last
that's,
10 or 15 minutes
also,
is ridiculous.
That's also my NXT match of the year. My number two would be the ladder match, the six-man ladder match. My number three would be Gargano Ciampa 2.
One. I like one better.
Two, the last man standing, because it was the most clever way to end the last man standing match that I've ever
good
seen.
Good booking.
Your thoughts?
I like what you said, because that's exactly how I felt. The only reason I would pick Gargano Ciampa 1 over Gargano Almas is because of the story. Gargano, that's exactly my thought process. Gargano Almas doesn't need, it's just two guys fighting for the most prized possession in their promotion, and I was like baffled as I was watching that. I mean, my fucking hands were on my head with all the near falls. I'm like, oh my God, that didn't end it. And my wife was like in the other room, and she's like, what
poor
the
Tara.
Fuck is wrong with you? And I'm just exclaiming. And
it
I'm
was
like,
back in January too, but
yeah, it was January.
It's easy to forget about it.
Yeah.
I was on my feet in my living room, like on my fucking feet,
was,
hands on my head,
it was
like
a really
what,
good
what is going
and
on?
That's the problem with these end of lists is that you get WrestleMania at the beginning of the year, you get Royal Rumble at the beginning of the year, and you also get Wrestle Kingdom at the beginning of the year, but we need to not forget about these, and I'm glad that we've had the restraint to not live in the recency bias and know.
I'm proud of us. This is a fairly complete.
If you guys
list.
Haven't watched Gargano Almas in a while, go back and watch that match
immediately.
I mean, it's crazy.
Makes me do
so,
big comes.
Here we go. We got 4 minutes left.
Go.
Women's Wrestler of the Year.
I don't think there's really much argument.
I'm gonna throw out the one alternate. Tessa Blanchard, I don't think gets a lot of credit because I don't think we watch her enough, and yep. I don't think we talk about her enough. They bypassed her with Carmella and Alexa Bliss. She was on NXT. She left NXT. She went to the Indies, and now she's currently the Impact Women's Champion. Tessa Blanchard is my alternate. We can say Becky Lynch. That's fine. I get it. Yeah. Tessa Blanchard needs some love.
Dumb move on their part to not capitalize, especially with her legacy and name and everything. Like
it's Becky Lynch.
Yeah,
Asuka could have been brought up in the underused category.
The
tonight.
Only reason I'm saying
so should Shinsuke Nakamura. I guess
okay,
we forgot to
bring
him up.
Most disappointing is Shinsuke Nakamura. Right. That's mine.
But
my
other Becky two, Lynch.
Sorry, my other two ladies, Toni Storm and Ronda. Just to throw them out there.
If we had a rookie of the year, it'd be Ronda
Rousey yeah.
because Ronda
has she's undefeated.
But she is leaps and bounds. She's done so much better.
She's ahead of
rookie. Just to bring this back around, last year we picked Alexa Bliss. I'm just saying.
Jesus no, Christ. I mean Becky Lynch is she's caught the world by fire. She is a crossover star at this time. At this point,
yeah. CBS wrestler. She
has been crazy good, and we probably spent too much time on the early stuff. We could have spent a lot more time on Becky Lynch. Sorry, Becky.
No, she we spent enough time on her, you know, during the pod. No, she knows. Everybody knows.
Yeah, we did. We always put three things on our titles of our podcast, and for like 4 or 5 weeks in a row, it was Becky Lynch.
I was about
Becky
to say, Lynch. Sam can verify that.
The male wrestler of the year.
I'll go first. When you can tap out Tanahashi, Sonata, Ibushi, and Naito in a tournament at any given point, that's all I need to know. On top of that, the same gentleman won the British the Progress Super Strong Style 16 tournament. This is Zack Sabre Jr. every day, twice on Sunday.
Nice. Zack Sabre Jr. is your male wrestler of the year, huh?
It's a hot take, and I can't disagree because he's amazing. But
he's my he's my favorite.
He's so good.
I'm going with accomplishments. Yeah. Guys can have great matches.
He's my New Japan favorite wrestler.
Guys can have great matches.
Someday I'm going with what you done. I hope to see him and Kevin Owens have a 10-match series.
Him and Daniel Bryan.
That's it.
But I feel like, you know, you can look at it a couple different ways. Looking at it as an impact, big match wrestler, you know, Omega, it was his year. Okada's year was last year. Okada had half the year this year, too. And I'm a huge Okada mark. But Omega ended that streak. He's carrying New Japan into the United States.
Omega was my number three.
Yeah, he's... And honestly, you could argue for Tanahashi because he's had such an amazing year this year. But, you know, NXT, it's Gargano and Ciampa 1-1A. And then in the WWE, it's Daniel Bryan.
Okay, I would say that... My number one is Gargano. I think that when you're in the feud of the year with Tommaso Ciampa, and also
I love this take because I'm wearing
the shirt. I'm wearing the Tommaso Ciampa shirt, and I know Gargano gets a lot of love, but you can't get that sort of babyface backing without a heel who's really doing it for you. And I love Tommaso Ciampa, but Gargano started off the year with Almas, had three classic matches with Ciampa, and is ending the year with turning heel with Aleister Black. And they just did a cage match that was great. Gargano is my male wrestler of the year. Kenny Omega would be my number three. My number two, listen, I thought about Jericho just because Jericho made a big impact this year by jumping into. But my number two is Cody Rhodes because I think that Cody Rhodes has... He's gone from New Japan. He won the NWA Championship. He did All In. He had a...
He was the ROH champion for a while.
ROH. He had a feud with Kenny Omega.
IWGP US champion. I mean, Cody Rhodes, the impact with All In. There's plenty of reasons.
Has done a lot, and I haven't seen a lot of love for him on these year-end lists.
Damn that. I think we're giving him love just for the fact that when we met him, he took time out of his busy schedule and just talked to us for 5-10 minutes.
That was 2017, though. I don't know how he'd be in 2018.
He's the same dude.
I think that Gargano has done, he has elevated himself from somebody who was, he's a little guy, somebody who elevated himself from a little guy to be a major player.
He is the best babyface in WWE company, and I think he's the best wrestler in WWE company.
Start off with Almas, did three matches with Ciampa, and he's ending in a triple threat match with Aleister Black.
He's the common denominator in every great thing that happened in NXT.
I agree completely. Guys, that is our Beefer Awards. Birthdays real fast. Bart Gunn is 53. Axe is 71. Goldberg is 52. China would have been 49.
R.I.P.
Cesaro is 38. Zelina Vega is 28. Justin Roberts is 39. Ray Phoenix is 28. Danny Burch is 37. And Jimmy Hart is 74. Hey, guys, we know there's a ton of podcasts to listen to throughout the entire year. So we appreciate the hell out of you listening to our little podcast here in Shock City Studios in St. Louis, Missouri. Our little dish of the world. For Sam the Muller Mall.
Mr. Perfect, check.
For Soul Taco. For JJ Twigs.
Check.
For F&B Eatery.
Check.
For Jason Cornelius Bell. For Zach Pullman.
Check.
For Murray the Murray Man Murray. Check. For check. Bo Vice Geisman. Check. I am Bill Vagy. And everybody, Happy New Year.
Merry New Year. Boo! It's Merry New Year, damn it. Trading places. Merry New Year.
No. It's that 9 to 5 time to feel alive. This is Band from Ringside.
Planning a spring break getaway? Well, with the Capital One Venture Card, you earn unlimited double miles on any purchase you make today and every day. And those miles add up to get you closer to that trip to paradise. Every vanilla soy latte, double miles. Every time you pump gas, double miles. Even when you buy a set of Monogram beach towels, yep, double miles. You earn unlimited double miles on every purchase, and then you go. The Capital One Venture Card, the card that takes you there. What's in your wallet?
Capital One Bank USA NA.